Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Welcome to another episode of Exit 68, the unofficial home of the number two ranked UConn men's basketball team. Undefeated, they've won every game by double digits and are going to continue that streak tomorrow, playing those assholes from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, also known as Villanova. Matt was nice enough to join us. He's going to be in attendance tomorrow. Matt, they looked like shit last game, but guess what? They still ended up winning by double digits somehow, some way. This team just finds a way every single game. Looked like an electric atmosphere at Gamble last week. So excited to see what it looks like against a very expensive ticket Villanova game in Excel tomorrow. Welcome back, and what a day and what a time to be a UConn Hoops fan.
Yeah, thanks, Matt, for having me back on. It is an expensive ticket to tomorrow, so shout out to Mamadou for purchasing that ticket on my behalf. I'll be in attendance with my father, my sister, and then my sister's boyfriend, who is actually a Wildcat himself. So, we'll see if he comes out of the tomorrow's game alive. I think this is one of the more highly anticipated games of the year. Obviously, Nova was on a downward trajectory following the coaching change earlier this year, but I've won five straight. Who's the freshman? Cam Whitmore.
Yep.
Right.
Whitmore. Yeah, Whitmore.
Has been a tremendous addition to Nova's squad returning from injury. And I think it's shown that they're starting to mesh a little bit. He's been coming off the bench, I believe, since his return, but I'm expecting, the 14.5 point spread, I think, shocked everybody. If you look at the money, most of it is actually on Nova, on the spread, as well as money line. So 61% of the money is on Nova plus 14.5, and then 75% of the money is actually on Villanova money line. I guess people are trying to take advantage of the probably the gross odds there, but I think that bodes well for UConn in terms of, if you're just viewing the game from Vegas's perspective. I think that means that UConn's probably maybe due for a blowout, but who knows? Again, Vegas isn't 100% right, but they're right often. I'm just excited for what I think is going to be a classic Big East matchup. I think it's going to be similar to the Georgetown game. If anything, the Georgetown game taught us that, there's no easy opponent in this league. I thought Georgetown looked really good, and UConn was able to weather that storm. So excited for what tomorrow brings. It's a tough week between Nova and Xavier on Saturday, especially going on the road next weekend.
I agree. We're gonna keep finding out more about this team. I think we found out a little bit about them in that aforementioned Georgetown game. I think this one's gonna be a little different. Nova, I don't think, is gonna make scoring the ball look as easy that Georgetown did at times with some of the shots those guards were hitting. But I think they're going to be a little more trouble for us on the defensive end. I think we're going to have a little more trouble scoring. I do think that we're going to kind of beat the crap out of them inside more compared to Georgetown. Excited to see that. And just this rivalry, I feel like it's an intense one. It's deep. It's relatively old. I feel like a lot of us kind of live and work in the same area. Nova, the Wildcats and the Huskies, like you said, you almost have one in your family now. So they're everywhere. And that's what makes these games fun. Hopefully you can, go back tomorrow with the whole family and with a big smile, knowing that the Huskies got it done and Nova's little reign of terror was over. So I really do wish that for you personally.
It's a cultural rivalry, and I know we all have friends that went to Nova, and typically the guys we know from Nova were like, oh, we like them, but there's just something about them that we don't like.
Yeah, a little bit light in the loafers, maybe a little more feminine, a little sweater vesty.
It is a little bit more beta, may I say, over down in Philly. Who do you think is going to be the key factor tomorrow? Because I have my idea. Like, I think Tristan Newton needs to be the X factor tomorrow. I'd be curious to see, who you think needs to show up on the Huskies' behalf in order to pull this game out.
I just want to kind of go off of what I saw last game, in which I don't know if Samson's going to be able to play. We don't have an update on that, correct?
I don't think he is. It's 30 the night before, by the way.
I want to see. I think Caravan needs to show up a little more, because I think he had his real first freshman game against Georgetown. I could see something happening again. But without Samson behind him, you kind of have to weather that storm a little bit more than maybe you would like in these early Big East games when you kind of pat him on the head and say, wasn't your game today. You gotta let him play through that. I think you're right on there with Newton. He's so important for this team in a lot of ways in his current role, just because he has so much time on the ball. He has so much trust with Hurley. I think he's going to be super important. I'm not worried about the bigs. I'm not worried about Andre. He's going to show up. I
See,
think
I'm kind of
it's I
worried.
think it
I'm
goes in
actually worried
regards.
about Klingon because Klingon had 2 points against Georgetown, and that's fine. He had that big dunk on the Joey C behind the back pass, but I do think maybe tomorrow, because I just think, the way I'm thinking about it is that Nova kind of knows Sanogo, and they have capable perimeter defense to kind of lock up Hawkins. And I'm not saying they're going to have bad games, but let's say we don't get the scoring from those two guys, who needs to step up? And when I said Newton, I didn't really mean it in like, oh, he hasn't been showing up. He has, but as I think we've talked about, not to beat a bush, but he has these quiet, like, leading
Yep.
score games. And tomorrow, my point is, I think he might need to be the X factor and put up like a not quiet, very loud 20 points, throw in half a dozen assists and really show up on the defensive end. So that's more what I meant. But
No,
the
I
X
think
would be
it's
for me
it makes
would
so
be
much
Klingon.
sense. I think there's so many good points in there. I think just to start, one of my biggest takeaways from last game, and I think we see this with Newton a lot, is for some reason he was super quiet to me last game, and I kind of left the game not thinking he played that well. And then I looked at the box score and I just couldn't believe it. He had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 17 points. And I don't know what it is. Defensively, he's solid. I feel pretty good about that. But offensively, I don't know how you score 17 points. And in me, I me and Justin thought it was an error on the stat sheet, honestly.
And
It's
it was
crazy. I don't know how it's so quiet. Can you explain that? Because I'm just a dumb guy on the couch, and to me, I just think I'm like, why do you like? What is happening right now?
No, I think everybody kind of thought that, and I think it was because he had kind of a barbell production in that game, right? So he started out, he hit a couple threes early on, and then he wasn't part of that run, right? That second half run where they went on the 19-5 run or whatever it was, and then he came in and he ended the game and he got to the free throw line when I think Georgetown was kind of trying to extend it with maybe 90 seconds left. So it was odd, but I think that type of production, just the timeliness of his buckets and what and going to the line. He didn't go to the stripe that much, other than the end of the game, and he usually goes to the stripe quite a bit. So it was really weird, but I think that also, I think that's the great thing about this team, and we could talk about it a little bit more. But that run against Georgetown, with Joey California, it was a little bit of Diarra. Klingon played a lot of those big minutes, and then those guys didn't finish the game, so they came out with like they were the ones who got UConn back into the game. They came out with 4 or 5 minutes left, and the starters kind of finished it out. And there was absolutely no ego on their end, right? Like the game was about Calcaterra and Diarra and what they did during that run, and they didn't even fit. Like they didn't even play the final minutes, and they had no problem doing that. I think that speaks volumes to kind of the culture of the team.
I agree. I think it spoke to everything, just the way that win went down. I have a lot of thoughts on it. Number one, I thought last year, no shot that this team wins that game. That's a loss. You're losing to Georgetown, probably the worst team in the Big East at home, kind of starting conference play. And that's a game I think we've seen as UConn fans so many times. Another thing on Klingon, I just want to add, he did only play 9 minutes last game,
In
which
that one.
in fairness to him, it's kind of crazy to see how low his minute count is. It's going to be, I think it's exciting to me to kind of see that creep up a little bit as he becomes, forces Hurley's hand a little more as he continues to
Hey,
grow.
and
Excited to see that.
Hurley proved he's gonna go with the hot hand, right? So like if Klingon comes out tomorrow and he's a force, like he could play 20 minutes and put up a double double. There's no question about it. And again, as I said before, Sanogo has no problem letting him take some of the shine. Sanogo's the guy, but he knows that Klingon's more than capable to kind of take a load off him. And I think they are playing a game of counting minutes just because they don't want to burn out Sanogo like they did last year going into a NCAA tournament. So.
I think one of the biggest things I want to talk to you about, because you mentioned it a little bit with the timing of the subs. I think we touched on Caravan versus Samson a little bit in the beginning. I think number one, we really missed Samson that game. I thought Caravan, you could kind of just tell halfway through the first half, you're like, he just doesn't have it today. He's getting his ass kicked. I thought one of the craziest things was to see him play 23 minutes without a rebound somehow at the four. That just can't happen. Really missed Samson for the first time all year. And then number two, I thought the timing of the subs in the second half was super interesting to me. I think anyone watching that game felt early in that second half, the game kind of slipping away, and you're thinking, you know, we need new energy on the guards right now. We got to get Carabin out. We probably got to get Newton out and Aline. We got some guys on the bench, and we got to mix this up because the eye test, it's just not working what's going on right now in that beginning of the second half slump. And I don't think he changed players until about 7 minutes into the second half. I think going a couple minutes over that point where he felt like he needed to. Is this something where he's just looking at the macro picture and really kind of showing you guys on film the next day, the starters, like you guys looked like shit and I left you guys in because that's how much I believe in you? Or is this just Hurley sticking by his guys? What are we looking at here? Because that had my brain in the blender for the last couple of days.
That's a really good question, because I don't think I know that. He very well might be like, you know what, this is my starting five. They got to bring it up, and I'm gonna give them to the very last second before I make some changes. Because you're right, once especially Sanogo came out at that 12 minute mark, the entire
The whole
game
thing
changed,
flipped.
and it was the bench, right? So you know, I don't know. The only reason I would say Hurley is not doing that and being like, those are my guys, is because he does seem like he's treating everybody in a pretty flat surface. So he's like, this is, I have a team that's full of capable players, and it just so happened, right, that our bench went in and made that run. But I'm not surprised by that at all. And he didn't say that or anything, but I would assume that's kind of his sentiment there. Listen, I give Hurley a lot of credit, and there's been no reason to criticize him on subs yet because they've won every game by double digits. But it seems like it's working. I think Georgetown was exactly that. It was indicative of how his coaching has actually worked. Has worked flawlessly this year so far. So I think tomorrow's it's going to be another interesting test. If that's a close game, you know, 3 quarters into the match, the game, then, you know, you'll see, you know, some interesting subs. And I don't think we know, and I don't even know if the team knows, you know, how those subs work, right? I think they
Yeah.
just kind of go with, you know, what they're feeling at the time, at least Danny is, so.
And it's something that's impressive 10 years ago when you have this kind of depth with lack of ego, but in 2022, it's borderline unheard of. Like I don't know if you could find another team into college basketball
Absolutely.
that this amount of guys, this amount of talent, and this amount of lack of ego, team first mentality. It really is so impressive.
You saw
I think one guy who deserves a lot of shine, me and you kind of, I think, secretly love him a lot. You know, Joey C came in. He went off, obviously, but Diarra, man, he earned himself some more playing time. He was such a spark. I fucking love his energy. He's just a classic UConn guard to me in so many different ways.
and that three he banged to kind of
Very
jump.
confident shot.
Very confident shot, and it's not like he shoots it that well. Like, he's not a great 3-point shooter, but he shot that with a ton of confidence, which I think tells you that his teammates and his coach have a ton of confidence in him. And you're right, it was great to see him kind of be one of those guys they were talking about after the game, even though he only had 5 points. I mean, he just had a massive three, and then he had the bucket on the breakaway, only playing 13 minutes yet, probably the key guy. He played the least amount of minutes other than Klingon. And he was probably the X factor along with Joey California. So, but I mean, going back to what you said about, you know, it's unheard of to see these teams that are egoless. Like, everybody's aligned, I think, on this team. You even heard Aline, who's really struggled, you know, since he came over. He had some breakout games early on against cupcake opponents, but you know, especially in Big East play, he hasn't really been that good. They asked him after practice on Monday. They were like, "Okay, what's your identity as a team?" And he's like, "We're just hard-nosed, get in your face, get after it type of dudes, and that's our team." And it starts on the defensive end. And he gets the message, right? And he's a guy who doesn't need to, because he could be like, "I'm not playing that well. Look at me." He doesn't even think that way, even though you know, I'm sure he's well aware of his struggles. He's very team focused. He has a team mentality, and I think that again is they get it. It's can they keep that up once they lose, right? And I think they will, because I do think it's ingrained and embedded in them at this point.
No, that's a great point. It helps a lot to win when you're playing like that. And if you look at his last five, his box score is quite empty. Double digit minutes in every game except Oklahoma State, 2, 9, 11, 0, 0 is points, three assists combined, three steals combined. Just not what you're looking for out of it. Probably your, I think he's been starting almost every game. But you know what? Thank God we have a deep team. That's the best part about this squad here. So hopefully he can figure it out and kind of get his space. I think one thing I think is becoming clearer and clearer to me, and I want to bounce this off of you, is I think Andre Jackson's clearly the second best player on this team. I think Hawkins is a great offensive talent, but he's just not, he just right on the cliff there. You know what I mean? He's just on the precipice of really being a true star. This guy is just unbelievable to watch do almost anything on a basketball court besides, actually score it at a high clip. I think I love when he's coming on the break and he's handling the ball. I just would love to see him handle the ball and play that point forward role as much as possible. I think he leads the team in assists per game, and he's just the ultimate UConn Husky, man.
He really is, and it's interesting because I think in his first 2 years, people he'd bring up the ball and people would be like, "Oh, what's Andre gonna do?" Like, "Oh, this is not feeling exactly 100% comfortable with that prospect." But he absolutely has just grown as a player, and I think his best attributes. And it's gonna sound, like I'm some boomer head coach here, but I think it's his intangibles, right? Like his leadership's tremendous. The way he hustles is tremendous. What was at the end of the Georgetown game, the ball was going out of bounds.
3 seconds left. He almost hurt himself getting the
Almost
ball out of
trying
bounds.
to save the ball, and they were up by 13. Like it's just that's just fun to watch,
He
right?
didn't think twice about it. It was just, there was
It
just
was
green
almost
light.
instinctive, but he just went flying into the stands to try to save the ball. Like you just love to see that, and you kind of heard the announcers kind of chuckle because they're like, "This kid is like so likable as a basketball player." So you're right. I think he is the second best player on the team in terms of just fit and like what he brings to the table. Like Hawkins is the one who's going to bail us out of some games, but Andre's kind of he's really the life and blood of the team, and you need that. And that's the scary part about this team is they just have every single cog in the wheel covered for.
And they're all different shaped cocks.
And they're all different. It's everything. You got the perennial All-American in Sanogo. You got the scorer in Hawkins. You have the bleed blue guy in Andre. You have the supporting cast, right? The hard-nosed point guard in Newton. You have the backup center kid who comes in and can win the MVP of a fucking,
Yeah.
early stage tournament. And then you just have all these pieces that kind of float in behind. A Caravan who's like a nifty, creative kind of Euro style player. You have Joey C who's just like, bringing in that energy, right? He was getting Gamble all pumped up. It's just really fun to watch. Now, Matt, I want to ask you, looking at the schedule, they have Nova went tomorrow night at home. Then they're at Xavier. Then they're at Providence at home for that Creighton game that's sold out already. And then they go to Milwaukee to face Marquette. This 5-game stretch right here, I think, is where we're going to see what UConn's capable of going, moving forward. Like, are they an actual 1-seed contender? Can they, like, this 5-game stretch, we'll know after, kind of their prospects for the tournament. And how far this team can actually go. Because if you go 2-3, then you're kind of looking at this and you're saying, all right, we just hit a lump in the road, right? Now we got to kind of work towards
Yeah.
maybe winning the Big East in order to get a high seed. So I think this next 5-game stretch is actually the most pivotal of the entire schedule.
I agree. There's a lot of variance in those early games. You can kind of explain a lot of those scores and box scores away when you're in March and you're looking back into early December at those tournaments. This is where your medal is made. Xavier's ranked, and I think I really single that one out, especially if you have a good win at home against Nova. You travel to Xavier, they're ranked. That place is going to be rocking. That's a dangerous game. You go to Providence, the dunk is going to be going crazy. A dangerous game. There's minefields all over the schedule here in these next couple games. And I think we talked about it a bit, but we learned a lot about this team against Georgetown. We're going to learn a lot more against these next teams because, like, there's not going to be all double digit wins. They might, but I just don't see it going that way. There's going to be that game where you just can't score. There's going to be the game like what happened in Georgetown where the other team kind of stinks on paper, but they just make every shot. And then you're staring in the face of a 10-point deficit. And that's when you really find out who you are. The thing that really gives me solace is just the depth of this goddamn team, because they just keep going, man. And like I've talked about it, my friends, you need like four or five guys to have really bad games, I think, to have a chance of beating this team, unless you're truly an elite team, which makes me feel better. I think one thing I did toss around with some friends after a couple of drinks that I want to toss around off you, because the primary subject of that conversation is not here. He usually is. He laughed at me when I said this with Justin. I made the comment that I think this team would beat the 2014 national championship team by eight, because I don't think they're that good. I mean, who's covering the guys in the paint? We're going to have freshman Bremer, Phil Nolan, freshman Olander. That's going to be trouble.
That's one of those questions where you might be vindicated at the end of the season, and then even if they don't win it all, just you could just look back at the profile of this team and like where they went and say, yes, they actually could have definitely given that team for another money, or and hopefully it doesn't happen, you know, they end up
Yep.
being
A
five
paper
seed.
tiger.
And yeah, and all of a sudden you are laughing at that. I don't think it's fair to laugh at that off the bat. So I'll
Yeah.
come to the defense of that, I
No,
think.
I was just looking for a laugh of a or lack of a chuckle there. That makes me feel better.
No, yeah, I mean that made me think about it. You know, I think this team is really good. We kind of beat a dead horse in that manner and talked about that. But the problem what you say about, you know, the Big East and how we understand it's a grind and we have a bias because we are Big East basketball fans as well. I just don't think the national circuit kind of respects the Big East as much this year just because there's not a lot of numbers next to those teams'
And
names.
Creighton, Jay Wright, you have the dual move of Jay Wright leaving, which, you know, that takes a lot of luster, I think, in the national eye away from Nova. Hate it or love it. And then you have Creighton, which came in as this, you know, well, I think we all thought they're going to be like a top five squad,
Yeah,
and they've
another
just completely fallen off. So now, you know, the preseason narrative is just, oh, Creighton stinks, so the Big East stinks, and Jay Wright's gone.
even if you look at Creighton's go I see I think Creighton's gonna get hot and they'll end up
No,
ranked.
I'm just saying how they're looked at now.
No, 100%, but I think people have written them off a little bit and I think they're gonna come back and I think they're gonna find themselves and I think they'll probably be a five seed in the tournament and I think they can make a run in March. Last thing I'll say is the coaching matchups in the Big East are incredible. Sean Miller, Shaka Smart, Ed Cooley,
Holloway now.
Holloway now, like you're going up against a tier, like maybe the best coaching roster in the nation. So I think that's something that you know hold your hat on, especially if UConn goes through a stretch where they don't win by
Pat
double.
Ewing.
I don't know how
I
they
think I
shout out
did.
to Tommy. Shout out to Tommy for going head to head with 7'4" Patrick Ewing the other day on national television.
Yeah, what a national hero he is. I do want to say one last thing. This is going deep, dark inside my brain. I fucking love this team. I think that's clear. There is one thing that does scare me about them, and I want to see what your thoughts are. To me, you know, we just talked about that 2014 team. What does that team unequivocally have is an unbelievable backcourt led by an absolute star lead guard in Shabazz Napier. That would obviously be tough to handle. When you look at March, and when I think of March and I think of that tournament, I really think of that dominant on-ball star who kind of can carry your team to a championship. And I think this the way the team's built now, obviously they're deep, they're well-rounded. I don't like I think Hawkins can become that. We just haven't seen it yet to an extent. Does that give you any pause heading into the postseason play where, well, you know, we talked about a little bit who's taking the last shot, and just I feel like those March Madness runs are always fueled by extremely high level guard play from one or two true stars. And I think we have some very good players at guard. I'm just not positive we have that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think you look at it in the context of like a Gonzaga, what they typically are. They typically don't have a point guard who's really kind of ball dominated and can lead Gonzaga through stretches where they don't score. They're you know big focused, right? And
They've won a lot of national championships.
yeah, so I'm not so I knew that was it. Come on, they've been to a lot of Final Fours,
Yes, no, I know. I'm being
so they
facetious. I'm
can.
being an asshole.
I don't think it ruins your Final Four prospects. I agree. I think Hawkins can be that guy.
Yeah, no, I do too. That's why it really doesn't scare me that
And who
much. It
knows?
just,
Maybe we don't even know. Maybe
I know.
Newton goes on a fucking tear, right? Like I wouldn't be surprised if Newton all of a sudden just starts taking like hero, he starts going hero ball, and like he hasn't, but he's capable of
Yeah.
doing that. Look at the
Like
ECU
the p p
session.
pick and roll of 3 or 4 feet behind the 3 point line. He's just shooting if you're not
And
hedging
he's just,
hard.
it's what happens in March is you need somebody to get hot,
Yeah.
right? You need somebody to get hot. A lot of times that player hasn't, like, has been hot and cold all year, and then somebody gets hot, and they UConn has pieces that can get
Yeah.
hot. I'll leave you with that.
Yeah. Okay. That makes me feel better. With that, we'll leave you. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you again after another couple UConn beatdowns. Hopefully, we take care of those losers from Pennsylvania, and just excited to keep watching this team and keep following them. Go skis, man.
Been going, baby.
Go skis.
Go skis. See you, Maddie.
See ya.